Oh, have we got a treat for you. And it's available exclusively for the listeners of the Reading With Your Kids podcast. Please visit our website, readingwithyourkids.com. That's readingwithyourkids.com, where you can download our one-of-a-kind all-star coloring book absolutely free. Your kids are going to love this book. It features illustrations from some of our favorite kids' books, including Sherry Fink's The Little Rose and The Little Seahorse, Kirstie Call's The Raindrop Who Couldn't Fall, Jeffrey McSkimming's Phyllis Wong, and it's illustrations from my book, The Great Maritini, and many, many others. Just go to readingwithyourkids.com to download this fantastic, exclusive, all-star coloring book for free. Do it today, readingwithyourkids.com.
This episode of the Reading With Your Kids podcast is brought to you by Jedley's Totally Interactive Magic Circus. Imagine a show where magic, illusions, comedy, music, and inspiration all come together as one. Imagine a show that has helped over 1 million young people and adults to change the way they approach life. A show that has shown people that being kind and respectful is fun. That show is Jedley's Totally Interactive Magic Circus, a transformative show that inspires young people to make healthy choices, be kind, and respectful. To find out more, please visit www.jedley.com or call 617-833-7063 today.
Reading with your kids.
Hey, 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 so great to see you. Come right in. We have been saving a seat just for you. Hi, my name is Jedley, and this is the Reading With Your Kids podcast. We're so very thankful that you would take the time to join us today. Thanks so much. We know that you're really busy, and so we try to make each and every Reading With Your Kids podcast as good as it can be, as good as it should be. And we have a great guest on today. Her name is Lynn Elmsley, and she is the author of a great book. Your kids are going to love it. It's called Jasper and Milo's New Home. She'll be here with us in just a moment. But before she comes in, I would like to share this. I just posted a GIF or a meme. I don't. It's a picture. I'm old, so it's a picture. And it's called Book Facts. And I just posted it on my social media accounts, Facebook, facebook.com/readingwithyourkids, and on my Twitter account, at Jedley Magic. It's kind of scary. Here are a couple of things. A couple of them don't surprise me entirely. 57% of new books are not read to completion. That means that 57% of the people who buy a new book, they don't read it. Well, that doesn't, you know, there are a lot of books that aren't great. And I know myself, I'll give a book a couple of chapters, but if I'm not digging it, if it's not grabbing my attention, I'll put it down. 70% of adults in the United States have not been in a bookstore for the last 5 years. Again, not incredibly surprising. Thanks to Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com, you really don't have to get to a bookshop anymore. But there are a couple of other facts that really kind of concern me. 33% of high school graduates never read another book the rest of their lives. And 42% of college graduates never read another book after they graduate from college. Now, I'm guessing that that's probably because those people never learned to develop a love of reading. They read because they had to, but they didn't learn to love reading and to love what you can get from reading, to understand that reading a book, it's like, it gives you the ability to transport yourself to another time, to another dimension, to another part of the world. Reading really does open up doors for you. And as we know, the more a child reads, and I think the same is true for an adult, certainly is true for me, the more a child reads, the likelier they are to be able to understand the emotions of others, or to understand the perspective of others. And doesn't that seem to be to be lacking in the world today. I mean, look at politics. You know, it's you're either on this side or that side. There's no in between. There's no debate. And it really isn't healthy no matter what side you're on. You can't be happy with that. Here's something that I think is really disturbing. 80% of families in the United States did not buy or read a book last year. Yeah, 80%. Well, obviously, if you're listening to the Reading with Your Kids podcast, you're not part of that 80%. You are part of the minority, unfortunately. And we need to do something, I think. And I think we can do something to kind of make some changes. Obviously, if you tell people about the Reading with Your Kids podcast, it just might change some of those trends. And we'd be so very, very grateful. But also simple little things. You know, we all have kids in our lives. We have our own kids, of course, but we also have other people's kids. We have our grandkids. We have our nieces and nephews. There are neighbors who do things for us, neighbors' kids that do things for us, or neighbors' kids who might come over. I know, and I probably, I remember there when I was growing up, there were people that we'd get gifts from, aunts and uncles, and I knew every time I got a gift from that aunt or that uncle that it was going to be a book or an educational tour. And I never looked forward to it. I always read the books, and I always used those educational toys a lot. But when I got them, I wasn't happy. So I know that that's probably how a lot of the kids in our lives, a lot of the other people's kids in our lives feel about me and my wife, because every time we get a gift, it's a book or it's a gift certificate to a bookstore so the kid can go and pick out their own book. I think it's real important, and I think it says something. It's a way for you to support what you obviously think is important, and that is having a literate society, helping everybody learn to love reading and to love learning. And that will just make our world a much, much better place. And if you are in the market to buy one of those little loved ones in your life a book, I would really appreciate it if you would consider purchasing my book, The Great Maritini. Did I tell you? Let me tell you. I'm so proud. The Great Maritini, which is the story of Sam, who is a far from perfect magician, who's known as the Great Maritini. Now, he tries and he tries and he tries to do amazing things on stage, but he often messes up. Like, you know that trick where you cut the lady in half? Well, he knows how to do the first part of that trick perfectly. But despite that, you know, Sam never gives up on himself. And it's through that grit and that resolve that he's able to learn how to do some really amazing transformations and to entertain and dazzle his audiences. But it's after the show, on his way to another town, that he discovers that the greatest transformation of all is transforming feelings of caring into action to help another human being. I'm really proud that The Great Maritini was recently named a top children's book that teaches kindness. And that was by the website childrenspublishing.com. What an honor. I was ecstatic. And we have all sorts of great reviews on Amazon, great 5-star reviews on Amazon. And Amazon is a great place where you can get your copy of The Great Maritini. Now, you can get it as a print edition. There is a print edition that's available, and it's great. It has some great activities at the end of the book that ask your kids to think about some things that they're grateful for and think about some of the ways that they can help others. There's also an ebook edition, and you can purchase that on Amazon. You can also read The Great Maritini for free if you are a member of Kindle Unlimited. And if you're not, well, you can try it for free. And if you do want to try it for free, go to Amazon.com, search out The Great Maritini, and sign up for Kindle Unlimited through our spot, because then that way it helps support the Reading with Your Kids podcast. And of course, you can learn more on our website, readingwithyourkids.com. Coming to us right now from Somerset in the United Kingdom, she is the author of a great new kids book called Jasper and Milo's New Home. Please welcome to the show, Lynn Emsley. Lynn, how are you?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm fantastic. So happy that we're talking to you. Through the magic of Skype and technology, Lynn and I are looking at each other from across the pond. It looks like it's a great day. It must be evening now or early evening in England.
It is. It's early evening. And it's been quite a sunny day today, so it's nice and light and bright.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And your book seems like a fun book for kids and parents to experience together.
Well, yes. When I wrote it, I wasn't particularly planning to do anything in particular in writing. It just kind of happened. Uh-huh. But when I started to write it, I thought about parents or older people reading to children. So I tried to make it so they could sit with children and read and point out the words and look at the pictures at the same time. But also as children got older, they could start to read it themselves.
Yeah, you bring up a great point. We're talking always about parents reading with their kids. And that certainly is something we definitely want to encourage. But grandparents can read with their kids, and aunts and uncles can read with their kids, and just, you know, people who love kids and want to spend time and encourage them and help them learn to have a love of reading, they can read to kids too.
Absolutely. And through selling the book in various venues, a lot of grandparents have approached me and bought the book for the grandchildren. A lot of aunties and uncles and friends and carers of people as well. Mm-hmm. And one unexpected approach I had is because it's about a new home and it's about the dogs experiencing what it is like to leave their litter and go to a strange place and learn about it. The children adoption agencies have picked up on that to kind of share the experience of a child going to a new home and you know, what will they have to eat and where will they sleep. So using the dogs as a kind of help through that process.
Wow, what a wonderful, unexpected thing to happen with your book. That's beautiful.
I know. I was absolutely amazed. It never occurred to me at all.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit. So we've gotten just a little flavor of Jasper and Milo's new home. So we meet Jasper and Milo and their puppies, and they're with their litter. Take it from there.
Okay, they're with their litter and they're on a campsite. And then the story really is about one day a family comes to look at the puppies and they choose two of them and they take them home. And it's about when they first see them, how the animals kind of see, how the dogs see the people coming and wonder who's going to be, you know, what they're going to be like and what uh-huh. they're going to say. And it's a mum and dad and two children, a boy and a girl. And they come and see the dogs and they stroke them and think they're cute. And they pick up two and they take them home in the car, and it's about the journey to their new place and what it will be like and what, you know, where they're going, and the kind of the journey of the picture of the car with the trees outside, and they see trees for the first time and they go outside the campsite for the first time, so it's a whole new experience. Mm-hmm. And then it's about when they arrive at their house and they find the water bowls and they have some food and they settle down and know they're going to be loved and cared for. So it's a very simple tale, but it's kind of hopefully about that first experience.
Yeah. Well, you know, as you're talking about it, it is a simple tale. But when you really dig deep into it, you know, the audience that you wrote for, you know, those little kids, not only the kids who are being adopted, but there's so many first time experiences that our kids are having. The first time they go to school, the first time they go to dance, the first time they play baseball. And I imagine that they're experiencing a lot of the same feelings that Jasper and Milo experience in their adventure.
Well, that's what I was trying to convey, really, that I was trying to tell children that animals have feelings too. They're different than humans, mm-hmm. but they have needs and they have to be looked after responsibly, and they have feelings too. And they can share that with children and help them through it. So that's kind of what I was trying to explain and help through, really.
Yeah.
And I've got a second book, which I've nearly finished, but I'm kind of holding back until I get the first first one established. Mm-hmm. It's about, it's going to be called Jasper Myler's Walk in the Park. So it's about their first day out and their first meeting with other dogs and other people. And I'm hopefully going to build a series of those kind of first events.
What inspired you? Was it, were there a particular event that kind of inspired you to go down this road of exploring first time events?
Well, we adopted two dogs who were older. We've always had puppies or young dogs. And for a whole lot of circumstances, we had two older dogs. They were six. And I just kind of tried to imagine what it would be like. You know, in their puppyhood, which we didn't see and didn't know. And I just kind of wrote something down and it evolved into Jasper and Milo, really.
Wow. It's amazing sometimes that when, where these stories, kind of come from. And I know when I'm creating pieces for my educational magic shows, there's sometimes when I just walk out on stage with a prop in my hand, and I know I want to do this. I want to start here, and I know I want to go over there, but I have no idea what's going to go on in the middle. And it's so much fun as I'm finding out what happens in the middle at the same time as the audience is.
Yes. Well, this wasn't a planned thing. I never set out to write a book or anything. Uh-huh. It just happened.
Oh, wow. And so tell me, what did you, before you became an author, what was it that got you up in the morning?
Okay, well, I've had a career in healthcare and social care and criminal justice. Uh-huh. And I had quite a senior position in that, doing some national work and everything. But last May, just a year ago, last weekend, I managed to build a business case to get my voluntary redundancy, because I didn't want to be where I was, because what I have done all my career and the values and the systems I've learned, I wasn't using. It was very tick box and it wasn't me really. I didn't want to be in that role. I was slotted in when the new organisation was formed in NHS England. So it's not where I wanted to be. So I thought I've got to do something different. So I left my post just a year ago, and I've been building up a portfolio of different sort of work and things I'm interested in since then. And part of that was the book, which has led me to a whole new adventure, a whole new world, and a whole new experience. So it's been amazing.
Yeah. So in some ways, Lynn, you are – our experience with Jasper and Milo are experiencing.
You know? Well, yes, I've certainly had a very eventful year. It's been amazing. It's been wonderful. I've learned so much about all different things. I've been to book fairs. I've learned about social media. I've done huge amounts of things, which I would never have done before. Mm-hmm. So it's been a great adventure.
Yeah. And again, it must be incredibly gratifying to know that, you know, this story that just kind of came and you helped nurture and helped create and come to life is making such a big difference in the lives of kids.
Well, I've had very positive feedback, so I hope it is. And one of the spin-offs is I've recently been to my first sort of charity event. I was invited to the Festival of Dogs, which I went to, and I've never been to anything like that before. And I had a stall and I was selling the book, and I gave donation to two charities. But it was amazing because people just came up to me and talked to me. They brought their children, they brought their dogs, and I got two other invitations for things like that in other areas. And I'm doing a reading at a big library close by. And so I'm meeting a whole range of different people. I'm going to different worlds. And it is interesting to talk to people and learn about how you can share experiences, really. It's been fascinating.
Well, I do love this book and the story that you've created. But you've just recently experienced, you were just sharing with us, you know, you were at a time in your life when you're in a I don't want to say rut, but you're in a position where you weren't happy in your professional life. But there's so many people who are, you know, kind of look around and go, well, but I can't make a change because I've been doing this too long. I'm really close to retirement. It's scary to make a change. what kind of encouragement can you offer to folks who might find themselves in a similar situation? Where did you get that courage to kind of make that step and say, no, I need, this isn't making me happy. I need to go out and find a way to make myself happy.
Well, I've always been a person to kind of have a go and make the most of opportunities. And when I announced I was leaving, a lot of people told me I was brave, which I didn't understand at all, because I didn't think it was, it was obvious. That's what I had to do.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of people have told me that, and they say, oh, it's high risk and I couldn't do that. But I suppose it was cushioned in that I didn't just leave. I did have a big financial package and thing, which helped me to do that. So that was one thing. But I suppose one of the things I've always done is to kind of find a way through. And although I wasn't eligible for redundancy or anything like that, I put my case forward, which by some fluke of circumstances and a good luck, I actually got through the process. And people said to me, well, how did you do that? Because you weren't eligible and you weren't at risk and all the rest of it. But there was a tiny clause and I thought, well, yes, I can apply that. And so I kind of like thinking a bit laterally sometimes and trying to find a way through and work round things, and it paid off. So I think it's a good thing to kind of just not look at things in a straightforward way and be accepting, but say, okay, well, that's what they're saying, but maybe if we did this and the other, it could turn around and help and be a bit flexible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it certainly has really done wonders for you. You have a glow about you, a giant smile. You're having a great time meeting people and sharing the book. If folks want to find out more and connect with you online, where is the best place for them to go?
Well, I've got Twitter accounts and I've got Facebook accounts. And I've got the book for sale on Amazon. If somebody wanted to find on Facebook, you can go into Facebook and type my name in, Lynn Emsley, or Jasper and Milo. You can find me on Facebook doing that. And on Twitter, again, you can put my name at Emsley Lynn, or at Jasper and Milo with a capital L, all one word. And you can find me there. I'm just developing a website.
Uh-huh.
Strangely, I thought right at the beginning when I embarked on the promotional side of all this that I would need a website. And then when I spoke to the IT people we deal with, he said to me, well, what are you going to put on it? And I realized I didn't have any content because I hadn't done anything.
Uh-huh.
So I've had to kind of do stuff to get to the point where I can develop a website to put things on. So I'm literally, I've been doing some of that today, been developing a website. And I'm also on LinkedIn as well. If anybody wants to contact me through LinkedIn, you can just put my name in.
Excellent.
So excellent. I am out there.
All sorts of ways to connect with Lynn Emsley. And Emsley is spelled E-M-S-L-I-E. Lynn Emsley. So the name of the book is Jasper and Milo's New Home, and Lynn is creating a series of these books. And as she said, it's a great book for kids who are experiencing new homes. I imagine it's a great book for kids experiencing all sorts of firsts in their lives. So it's a great just way and it's also, I think, a great way for us to talk about our kids, about supporting kids who are new coming into a neighborhood and helping our kids develop some empathy for people who are facing new challenges and new things in life and helping them reach out to make new friends and to make people feel welcome. Lynn, I'm so happy we had this chance to talk and to find out about Jasper and Milo's new home.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. It's been great to actually speak to you and to see you there. It's
Yes. Great.
And I wish all your followers well, and I hope to hear from some of them.
We would love it if you could join us for the next edition of the Reading With Your Kids podcast, something a little bit different. Our friend Francie Healy is going to be here to tell us how we can cook with our kids. What a great way to start talking to kids about making healthy choices for their life. Francie Healy in the next edition of the Reading With Your Kids podcast. Hey, I want to thank Lynn Emsley for being with us today. And I also want to thank you. Thank you for taking the time to join us today. And thank you for taking the time to be present and to read with your kids. I'll be looking for you on the next edition of the Reading With Your Kids podcast.